We're going to turn in our Bibles to Philippians and chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. We thank God for that reminder from His Word. Over this year, we're thinking on the theme of living deep with God. Living deep with God. And today comes an opportunity for us to pause and to reflect. I don't know how many of you have gone through the experience at work of, I think it's probably called the appraisal. See, fear and dread has just descended on you. The appraisal, when we have to meet with our senior managers and we say, okay, this is how the year has been for me. And they go, ha-ha. From where I'm sitting, it's been like this. And they tell you. And it's a time when you are appraised. Now, we're not going to get heavy and create fear and dread this morning. But I recognize in terms of just looking at this passage and particularly the first verses of this passage that what we have is Paul just taking a moment to reflect upon his circumstances. And not only does he want to reflect upon his circumstances for himself, but he also wants to say to others, this is my reflection, this is my understanding of where I am at the moment, where I'm at the moment, where the gospel is at, what we're involved in, where that is situated. And I think this morning, in just these next few moments, just to pause ourselves and just to ask a few questions about where we are at on our spiritual journeys, reflect and say, am I in the place where God actually called me to be? Am I doing the things that God has called me to do? Am I using the gifts in the way that God wants me to? And reflection necessarily demands that we ask questions of ourselves. And I recognize that for all of us, there is that sense of needing on a regular basis, whether we say, well, I began my spiritual journey or I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 10 or 15 or 20, or whether I gave my life to Christ and my eyes were opened literally just a few weeks ago, at whatever point we're at, there is the need to just pause and say, well, okay, it may look great to others, but what is my reflection before God about who I am and what God has called me to? And reflecting on our lives, asking questions about our lifestyle, thinking about why we do what we do. And I'm going to do it under four headings. Firstly, asking questions about success. Are we successful? No, that's probably a very dangerous question to ask in the context of church and a spiritual journey, but are we successful? Ask a second question about clarity. Third question, the only way I could think to put it was about our determining story, and I'll explain that when we get to it. And the fourth, ask about difference, the difference that we make. The first is that of success. Are we successful in what God has called us to do? We can just pause just for a moment and say, what do you think God has called you to? I won't do it, but we could just turn into pairs and threes and say, do you want to do it? We could. And just say, this is my understanding. It may be this is the first time you've thought that question since you became a believer. What is it that God has called me to? And am I successful in doing it? I find it very interesting in the passage that I read in verse 12. It says this, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And that for Paul was a criteria of success or otherwise. Is the gospel being advanced? Is it being moved forward? And we can reflect with Paul and say, how successful am I in advancing the gospel? Maybe you've never thought of yourself as somebody who advances the gospel. But in general terms, how successful are we in terms of advancing the values of the kingdom of God? How successful are we in terms of advancing the values of the kingdom of God? In other words, taking the values of the kingdom of God, of love, of kindness, of gentleness, of generosity, of mercy, of forgiveness, of justice. How successful are we in the people that we are, in the jobs that we do, in what God has called us to? How good are we at advancing those values? I remember when I first became a Christian and in the Christian Union at school, and we were very fortunate at school in the Christian Union there. We had a room for ourselves that was known as the Christian Union room. And there were a number of different posters around the walls of the room. And I remember one of them, and you may have seen it yourself. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Any of you seen that poster? Yeah? If you were put on trial, and this is what this is about. In general terms, how successful are we in advancing the gospel? The values of the kingdom of God. Would other people say, yes, this person or that person, they have values that are different, that are about love and mercy and kindness, forgiveness, generosity, and justice. But then we could ask in specific terms about the gospel announcement. How successful are we in terms of announcing, saying, using our mouths to actually tell people that Jesus is Lord? Now, I guess that Paul is in prison. He's in chains. He's in trouble. Not just because he has advanced the gospel in terms of the values of the kingdom, because there's a sense in which sometimes when we advance the values of the kingdom, you know, people go, that's very nice. Unless you're talking about issues of justice and you clash politically with somebody. But more likely, Paul was announcing, saying something. He was saying, Jesus is Lord. And you'll know that when Paul and his companions visited Philippi, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, the claim, the response to Paul and his companions was, we are Romans. We don't do those kind of things, whatever Paul was talking about. And they were saying, for us, well, our Lord, well, it was the emperor. But Paul was announcing, no, the emperor's only, well, he's a ruler for a time, but Jesus, he's the true Lord. And so he got into trouble. He was in chains because of that. But he's saying, no, all this is serving to advance the gospel. And our reflection, success. How successful are we as individuals? How successful are we as a church in advancing the gospel in terms of the values, the life of the kingdom? But also, how successful are we in advancing the gospel in terms of announcing Jesus is the true Lord? Reflection. Success. Does it make any difference that I am where I am? Are we successful? The second was about clarity. Clarity. In verse 13, I'll read again from verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what happened has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace garden to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. It has become clear. Talk about success. How successful am I? How successful are we in advancing the gospel? But it's interesting that Paul says, because I'm here, something has become really clear. And we need to reflect where I live and in what I do. How clear is it that I stand for Christ? Is it like people would have to fight through a fog, to kind of find, yes, it's there somewhere, but it's a bit of a fog? Or can we say, as a result of me working where I work, living where I live, having the family where I have them, doing the things that I do, because of those things, it has become clear. And it may be, of course, that we would love it to be clear. But there are all sorts of other things that have come in the way. And maybe there's a sense for us of, well, I'm not too worried about those things. Because if it was really clear that I belong to Christ, life might be a little more difficult for me. How clear is it that we belong to Christ? Do people know, for example, you know, about the church, that Evesham Baptist Church is seeking to be a Jesus-following community? Now, of course, I would love to say, oh, well, of course they do. And it's a bit like every church, you know, every church says they're a welcoming church. You know that, don't you? And then you visit the welcoming church and nobody speaks to you. It happened to me just a few weeks ago. Literally, nobody spoke to me in a particular church. And I'm sure they would say they're a welcoming church. And so this is a need to reflect and say, how clear is it that this church, for example, is a Jesus-following community? How clear is it that I'm a Christian in my workplace? Would anybody know? Could people identify that I am a Christian by the fruit of my life? As Jesus said very clearly, people will know us by our fruits, by the outworking of God's life in us spreading. How clear would it be? So in terms of reflection, just pausing and saying, I want to live deep in God. But none of us are ever going to live deep in God unless we're prepared to come to that point of reflection and say, am I successful in advancing the gospel? Am I successful in doing the thing that God has called me to? And in our reflection, we need to ask, well, how clear is it to others? A thought, of course, is that the next time you're at work, in an opportune moment, sit down and say, I just want to test something out on you. Over a coffee or something. Okay. Would it surprise you that I'm a Christian? And they might say, why do you ask? because our minister on Sunday, he was going on about this, you know, is it clear? And I was just wondering, do I make it clear? There's a challenge. Interesting thought. Reflection. Am I successful in doing what God has called me to do and being what God has called me to be? Is it clear? Now, the third is, I just put it down as determining story. Because in verse 13, as a result, it has become clear. What's become clear? It's become clear throughout the whole palace garden to everyone else, this, that I am in chains for Christ. And just reflection is, throughout this passage, Paul refers to Christ. Now, once or twice he speaks of Jesus. Once or twice in chapter 1, for example, he talks about Lord. But on the whole, he talks about Christ. Now, my awareness, as I have over the years read the Bible, and particularly as I've meditated and reflected upon Paul, Paul doesn't use the title for Jesus unless he means something by it. Very specifically. And in this passage, he's talking all the time about Christ. I'm in chains for Christ. Verse 15, it's true, some preach Christ. At the end of verse 18, the important thing is that in whatever way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and so on, and so on, and so on. Christ is the title given to Jesus here. And reflection, the Christ story is the determining story of history. The Christ story. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, the coming of the Christ. When we read the Old Testament, what we understand is there is always this forward-looking perspective. People are not looking back so much as looking forward. They live in expectation that someone will come from God. Now, in the Hebrew, they talked about the Messiah. It's just in the Greek they talk about the Christ. But they would have looked forward to the Christ figure. And some of the prophets, extraordinarily, are very accurate in terms of their understanding when the Christ figure comes, when the anointed one comes from God. He will be like this, and he will do that. God promised, and this Christ figure, Jesus, the Christ, is the fulfillment of the promises of God. But of course, it didn't just finish when Jesus came, because Christ is intended to be the continuation of the story of God, to take the story on towards a future that we read, we're reading last week, the day of Christ, the day when Jesus comes. Now, why is this important? That the Christ story, the story about Jesus and the promise and his coming and what he has done and the fact that he is returning, why is this so important for us? In terms of our reflection, we need to ask, what is the determining story for us? What is the key story for you? Now, with our present, the present financial crisis, credit crunch, whatever, it would be so easy to say, and for it to be true for us, that an economic story is the determining story for us. If you cannot pay your mortgage, if you are in debt, if you are struggling, economics can determine your life, you could feel. Yeah. So an economic story could be your determining story. If you live in a particular country where there is very little freedom, and the laws are very restrictive, you could say, well, whatever I want to do, I cannot do. The story, the determining story for me and my life is a story of power. And we might reflect on the last few years and the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq and say the determining story in our world is a story of power. A powerful nation who said, this is what we're going to do. Nobody can stop us. Not issues of justice, not issues about what is right and wrong. This is what we are going to do. So the determining story might be power. And we need to ask of ourselves, what is my determining story? Is it that I just want to become rich? Is it that I want to be successful in the world? Is it about economics? Is it about power? Is it about sex? Whatever it is. And yet the reflection is, what does Paul say? It has become clear that I'm in chains for Christ. I'm not in chains because I've aspired politically. I'm not in chains because of some mishap economically. I'm in chains because of Christ. That is my determining story. That's what drives me. That's what calls me forward. So part of our reflection has to be, why do I do what I do? Success, yes, we need to reflect on that. Clarity, is it clear who I am and what I am and why I do it? And then we need to ask, why? What is my determining story? Is it the Christ story? Because you know that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Relationships succeed and relationships fail. Money, economics, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but Christ lives forever. And so we need to reflect, what drives me, what calls me forward. And if it's anything but Christ, we'll fail. Now the fourth thing, very quickly, is that of difference. Philippians 1:14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And this is an extraordinary thing, that because Paul is in prison, because he's in chains, there are other believers who've somehow got the courage to speak courageously and fearlessly. And they too are somehow aspiring to be like Paul. They too are saying, Paul has announced that Jesus is Lord and he's got into all sorts of trouble. And they want to do it too. They want to get into trouble too. They're aspiring. Jesus is Lord. And because of that, Paul has made a great difference. Paul has made a difference. What difference do I make? What difference do I make? Am I an encouragement? Am I an encouragement to others? Would others be stronger in their faith as a result of relationship with me, or weaker? Do I strengthen others in their faith? Would it matter if I wasn't there? Reflection. The need for each one of us at times to pause and say, who am I? Am I doing what God has called me to? Sometimes we need to speak to somebody else and say, can I just talk about this with you? Because I need to get my head around this. But it's important, if we're going to live deep with God, we need to be prepared to reflect and face the difficult questions. Be prepared to say, no, I'm not succeeding. No, it is not clear. No, the Christ story is not the determining story. No, I don't make a difference. But I want to. What's in the way? What is inhibiting me for my journey with God? So these simple things, reflecting on our lives, asking questions about our lifestyle, thinking about why we do what we do, and these four headings, success, clarity, determining story, and difference. May God in his grace just touch each one of our hearts, and in a perhaps a whole variety of ways we might, in the next few days, just be able to reflect and say, God has brought me to this place. Now, am I doing what he wants me to? Let's just pause and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us. Father, thank you that every time we turn to you, you are there for us. Father, we thank you for the many good gifts you give to us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for forgiveness, for love, for life. But Father, we thank you for the physical things, the material things you give us. for the opportunities we have for relationships, for a home, for all sorts of things for us to enjoy together, to have fun and laughter and fellowship. Father, thank you for all these many, many things. But Father, we pray that you would help each one of us and you would help us together to be able to reflect and say, I want you to know that what has happened to me has made a difference. A difference to me and a difference to others. Father, in your mercy and kindness, meet with us in this, for we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.